The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Get to Know Patrice Walker, the Mastermind Behind the Branding Bag, from BlackEnterprise.com. Black businesses have experienced significant growth in recent years, a direct result of community support and new initiatives. Patrice Walker, founder and CEO of The Branding Bag, TBB, is helping elevate these businesses. While observing the businesses that were posted, I would see certain posts that didn't get any traction or get some complaints on the back end from customers of things that could have been avoided, she adds. Thus, the Branding Bag Academy was born. I made it my mission to do my part in assisting these businesses as affordable as possible or for free. I realized not everyone had a support system, mentors, or anyone to coach them into their next level as I did. As of June 2023, Walker is officially certified as a business coach. However, she had already built an extensive resume over 5 years, working with real estate agencies and brokers, restaurant and food truck owners, daycare owners, hairstylists, tax preparers, and others. I created my group 3 years ago and have been assisting them for years as well. I finally decided I needed to make this official and brand myself as such, Walker says. Walker's journey as an entrepreneur has not always been easy. Ever since I can remember, I have loved people and have always been a people person. All throughout high school, I was the class clown, the lovable but smart kid. Senior year, I skipped school a lot and hung out with the older crowds. The principal sat me down and told me I couldn't graduate due to attendance. Imagine that exemplary student with passing grades and homecoming queen could not graduate, she says. The conversation with her principal served as a wake-up call. Immediately after the discussion, Walker pivoted toward attaining her GED. Though she succeeded just 7 months later, she discovered that she was pregnant at just 18 years old. Freshly out of high school, Walker was unsure how to proceed, but remained as determined as ever. It was then that she met somebody who offered a helping hand. He hired me in finance at an entry-level position, and against all odds, being black, being a woman, being uneducated, I worked my way up to assistant store manager, then store manager 6 months after that, and general manager a year after that, she says. Though Walker does not name the man who helped her, she says his faith in her ability gave her opportunities beyond what she could have imagined. The most important part of this story and the game changer for me was the guy who took a chance on me, became my work mentor, and guided me on those goals. That was when I knew the importance of finding a mentor, and I wanted to be that person for others. I then began working with businesses on the back end, helping them structure their businesses and create processes for their businesses. I used the knowledge I had gained in working in a corporate setting and in a management role. Since its inception, the Branding Bag Academy has positively impacted the lives of thousands of black business owners. Anyone that I work with must align with our vision, mission, and core values. I use those as my guide, along with my spirit of discernment, to make the final decision. By vetting each business, it gives the consumers peace of mind when shopping with these businesses and a mediator if it doesn't work out, she says. She's also offered advice to Black female entrepreneurs hoping to get their businesses off the ground. I am a firm believer in allowing God to order my steps. I always get His approval first. I always tell everyone to figure out their why first. Most people got an idea, form an LLC, apply for a EIN, and then get stuck, she says. If you discover your why, and then and only then can you be confident in marketing yourself, maneuvering through the highs and lows of entrepreneurship, and placing your roots firmly in this cold business world. Money can't be your only motive, because what is going to keep you going when the money is slow or non-existent? The Branding Bag Academy has several different programs for entrepreneurs, ranging from $25 to $65 per subscription. There are also free and unlimited resources exclusively in the TBB Facebook group, as well as free educational lives, Zoom training, and webinars, and more. The next article is titled, Black Women Behind the Music. These powerhouse execs are among the most important players in music industry boardrooms right now. Where would the music industry be without Black women? Thankfully, that's a question we'll never have to answer, because Black women, both in front of the mic and in the C-suites, have made and continue to make significant creative contributions to the culture. Yet, like Black women in so many professions, these power players are often subject to harsh criticism, forcing them to work twice as hard to achieve the same degree of recognition and respect as their male counterparts in the industry at large. But as we celebrate 50 years of hip-hop, their influence is undeniable as they carry forward the torch originally lit by the Black women who pushed open doors before them. They make the wins look almost easy. Meet two music execs who are the masterminds and marketers behind some of the biggest artists of our generation. Jennifer Smith, head of Urban Tour Marketing, U.S. Concerts at Live Nation Entertainment. This year, we saw some of our favorite artists headlining massive stadium events that broke the internet. We can thank Jennifer Smith for that. She works with the top tier of talent in hip-hop, rap, and R&B, helping artists connect with their growing global fan base. Smith also helped launch tours for Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Her, Snow Allegra, Lil Baby, Jasmine Sullivan, Alicia Keys, Jack Harlow, and many other artists. Music is the universal currency we all use, Smith says. It can shine a light on your darkest moment and magnify your brightest one. We have so many hard times nowadays. If I can contribute to some group therapy, I'm going to do it. Mass shootings, racism, the attack on women's rights. There are so many mediums and messages that divide us. But music, specifically good music, brings us together. Putting together some of this year's biggest tours, I get to soothe everyone's hardships for a few hours. A great festival, tour, or concert helps you focus on those bright moments and curate those special memories. Motivated by an unwavering desire to create a safe space for artists to connect with their fans, Smith spent over a decade doing tour marketing for ICM Partners, AEG Presents, and Golden Voice prior to joining Live Nation. Her best advice for Black women trying to make their way up in the industry: be resourceful, be humble, and be a good person overall with tenacity and a good work ethic. The next article is titled Love, Loss, and Legacy. Essence CEO Caroline Wanga explores Black women as chief executive officers of home, culture, and community, and focuses on helping every Black woman recognize the chief that already exists within her by introducing the ones who live among us. When Thasunda Brown Duckett was named president and CEO of the Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association of America, TIAA, in 2021, she joined the rarefied ranks of Black women who, according to USA Today, make up 1% of executive officers at Fortune 500 companies. Until Duckett stepped into the top job at TIAA, Rosalind Roz Brewer, CEO of Walgreens Boots Alliance, Inc., was the only Black woman CEO in the S&P 500. Now, Thasunda Brown Duckett is on the exclusive Fortune 500 list, which overlaps with the S&P 500. Duckett credits her rise through the ranks and attainment of success to her parents. Born into humble beginnings in Rochester, New York, she spent her early life in New Jersey and later moved with her family to Texas, bringing only what could fit into one car. Her gratitude, her ambition, and her ability to reflect on her roles and titles in the moment she is experiencing them have a direct bearing on her continuing achievements. The CEO and president particularly values the ability to be vulnerable, especially as she herself has experienced loss this year. Here, she embraces the mess that she was and shares how she harnessed the power of being authentic. Caroline Wagner asks the question, who is Thasunda Brown Duckett? Miss Duckett responded, I am a mother, a wife, a sister, a daughter, an auntie, a sister friend. I am an executive. I am an impact maker. I am a child of God, anchored in my faith, and here to make sure that I'm doing my very best to inspire and make a difference. Who am I? I stand on the shoulders of giants. I am on the shoulders of women who couldn't even imagine this conversation, but still fought for the possibility because they knew that better was in our future. So I am all of that. And sometimes I am a mess, but I am all of that. Caroline Wagner asked another question. I love the way you describe yourself, and I love that you said, and sometimes I'm a mess. For me, it would be, I am a mess most of the time. But let's talk more about what you mean by the word mess, and what does sometimes I am a mess mean? Duckett responded by saying, sometimes I am a mess when it comes to not being the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect sister, the perfect friend, the perfect daughter. But that mess means I'm giving it all that I have. I'm leaving it all out there, mess and all. Because when you love and when you're giving your best, but the best comes with mess. The mess helps me to appreciate the beauty. I think about November 13th, 2022, when I lost my brother unexpectedly. I was a mess. But within the mess, I still had to be a mother, a sister, an executive, a wife. What I love about this is that in the moment, in the mess, is that I am reminded that even when you are broken, you are affirmed because of the sisterhood, family, and my colleagues. It was everyone seeing my mess and telling me, I got you. So that's where that vulnerability lies. It's okay to say that you're a mess. It's okay to say that you're not okay, because that allows people to step up for you, to stand in the gap when you can't. I think it's important for women to understand they have to own their mess, because within that mess is where humility lies. Within that mess is where empathy lies. You know what? I've been there. When we think about a mess, we think about living life. We always say we are going either through something, coming out of something, or about to go into something. Wanga asked the next question. My brother's unexpected death was November 12th. I didn't realize until you said the date of your brother's passing that they were that close together. I'm sure for you, as for me, the sister never stops grieving. Do you have anything that has helped you deal with the grief? Duckett replied, my faith and my family, but also recognizing that to have this level of grief means I experienced an unbelievable level of love. You don't have this grief without a lot of love, and my brother was everything to me. We called ourselves the unit. It also helps me to understand that the spirit is still here. I may have lost him in the flesh, but I feel him. His spirit is still with me. I would also say his legacy comforts me. He has children and grandchildren, which means he is continuing. And the impact that he made is continuing. We have to give ourselves permission to cry. We have to give ourselves permission to hurt, to ask questions, all of that. But then we also have to remember that this is life, and when you love hard, you will grieve hard. But that's also the gift. Longa responds, culturally, as Black folk, we say names. Duckett elaborates, Otis Jamal, OJ. My oldest brother, my inspiration, my biggest fan. Wanga says, for my brother, Victor, who did everything in his power to exist in his power and the legacy he left behind. We dedicate this conversation to Victor and OJ. Wanga continues, so let's talk about where the Sunda journey starts. Duckett responds, I like to say my family was long on love. Long on love, a lot of laughter, sports, faith, example. But we also understood what it meant to struggle. I saw firsthand my parents doing their very best, dreaming for us, but the financial insecurity would get in the way. But what I also know is that my parents' self-worth was not defined by their net worth. We then moved as a family to Texas, and I tell this story because we moved with everything that we had in the car, along with Mom, Dad, Reggie, Jay, and myself. I know what it's like to start from that bottom. I know what it's like for parents to create a new day for their children. Wanga asks the question, how did all of that lead to your foundation? Duckett responded, I saw my dad stand up for us and others. I saw my father be that father to so many young boys. I saw my mother tutor students, our friends, who did not think that they were smart, but Rosie Brown said, you can learn and you will learn. You are smart. At the retirement party that I threw for my dad, grown men said, Mrs. Brown, you told me I was smart. It mattered. I saw my mom fix a big pot of spaghetti and fed the neighborhood. The point is, my parents were ordinary people, but they made an extraordinary impact. I believe you give people their flowers while they are here. And this is an expression of flowers for my parents to let them know that they matter. Not just in my life and my brother's life, but in so many others. That's why we started the Otis and Rosie Brown Foundation. Extraordinary is.org. Extraordinary is dreaming. Extraordinary is standing in the gap. Extraordinary is perseverance. And so we give out scholarships based on character, your ownable assets, because when all those rented titles are gone, you are still who you are at the core. You are still kind. We make awards through small not-for-profits that are doing extraordinary things with ordinary resources. At the best feeling is when your mom and your dad can have a blown up check that says Otis and Rosie Brown Foundation, and they are presenting it to a child as something that hopefully can change their life, just as they changed my life in such an extraordinary way. Caroline asks the question, why is it important for you to talk about rented titles and how core character is what matters more? Duckett responded, I mean, you're a CEO, I'm a CEO. I grew up through corporate America. To know early that my title is rented gives me permission to know, regardless of what's going on at work, regardless of whether there's a moment that my work may not be needed or wanted, I am still whole. To know that my title is rented means that I understand where my value is. I think what happens so often is in our society, we are chasing something that we don't even own, something that we will not forever have, instead of affirming and understanding that within my rented title, I need to remember that it's my personal assets that have currency. And so when that job is no longer for me, I may leave my business card, I may leave the laptop and all the documents, but I am taking my intellectual curiosity, I am taking my grit, my perseverance, my kindness, my joy. Those things are mine. So rent your title, but own your character. That will allow you to see people and to understand that every day you're being mentored. You just need to open up your eyes and receive it all. Caroline asked another question. Recognizing that title as something you rent versus owning changes the urgency of understanding why you are here. Because if you take the approach of rented titles, you have to have something else. And so
it increases the urgency to figure out what it is you are here to do. Because once you step out of that notion of, I own this title, you'll be in a little bit of an oblivious place if you aren't being intentional about that journey. And I think that's important to understand. Duckett responds, it starts to connect the dots. So if I say, man, why did I grow up with financial insecurity? Why did I start my career at Fannie Mae, where the mission is the business and the business is the mission of home ownership? The first time we experienced home ownership was when I helped my mom and dad buy their home. Why am I here? Why did I become the CEO of different businesses at JP Morgan Chase and do all the right things that I've done? And why am I now the CEO of TIAA Retirement? Why? Caroline asks the question, purpose. What advice do you have for those who are continuing to find the chief within themselves? Duckett responded, optimism. There are more Black women CEOs of their household, CEOs of their company, CEOs in corporate America, CEOs in politics. That is encouraging. We have more work to do, but there is a sisterhood that is available and real. Make sure you take advantage of it and understand that your self-worth is not defined by your net worth. Without judgment, let's get going and move past inequality, and let's make sure the chief in all of us knows that the world is waiting. The world needs us. Let's get it. The next article is titled, Travel Like an Influencer. Globe-trotting gurus reveal their favorite destinations around the world. Kelly Edwards, Nathan Fluellen, and Jessica Nabongo are adventurers in every sense of the word. They embody a spirit of freedom, courageously living by a compass. These intrepid wanderers are also social media influencers for whom no corner of the globe is too remote, whose posts from across the planet inspire others to lead more daring lives. But of the innumerable trips these travel pros have taken, which destination truly makes their soul sing? Jessica Nabongo. There are so many beautiful and energizing places in the world. Why choose one? I have been to Cuba. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.